I mean, there's some homes that I've come across where people get less than what they paid like 20 years ago, and then that predatory speculator has flipped that home for sometimes between 400 to 700% profit. So they're making a lot of money on the backs of, people's homes. And that's why we kind of center this language of homes, right? Toxic home flipping. Like, we want to kind of shift away from this language of like house and like, oh, housing as a commodity. Like, these are people's homes where they actually live.
Hey, this is Epicenter NYC. We connect our communities to news, information, and each other. I'm your host, Amber Castillo. Neighborhoods like Cypress Hills and East New York are currently witnessing an alarming trend where house flippers aggressively target homes. They often prey on the vulnerabilities of low-income Black and Brown homeowners. Offering quick cash deals, flippers acquire properties at a fraction of their value, only to resell them at exorbitant prices. The practice is disrupting the local real estate market and putting immense pressure on property taxes and rent. Luckily, community groups like the Coalition for Community Advancement are fighting back with initiatives such as a proposed flip tax bill, educational tours, and creating a cease and desist zone to protect homeowners from relentless solicitation. Today, I sit down with Maliha Jahangiri, who joined the Coalition for Community Advancement last spring, to discuss the implications of this toxic practice on the fabric of communities and what's being done to combat the issue.
The Coalition for Community Advancement, it was formed in the wake of the East New York rezoning a few years back. So a bunch of community residents got together. Since then, they've been involved in leading just a bunch of different housing and economic justice campaigns, continuing work around land use, gentrification, and rezoning. So we're organizing around like developments that we do not support. And so this campaign has been a campaign that the coalition has been involved with for a few years. The issue of predatory speculation, the homeowners on our steering committee have, had been personally impacted. I think it's a universal experience for people to have had, flyers left at their door asking if they're interested in selling their homes, having people knocking on their doors. So it's a very frequent issue that the homeowners on our steering committee and just generally folks in East New York have been facing for a really long time, right? And we basically have those signs with "We buy homes for cash" at every corner. Yeah, so the coalition has been, involved along with the lead sponsors for this legislation, Julia Salazar and Catalina Cruz, for bringing forward a flip tax to disincentivize this behavior. So yeah, and then I guess in terms of like the things that people could be doing in the meantime in terms of like protecting our communities and our homes, I think the number one thing is to A, understand what the issue is, and to understand like that this practice is going on and that these predatory speculators do not have homeowners' interests at heart, particularly Black and Brown vulnerable homeowners who are overburdened by property taxes and their mortgage. So I think it's just like important for people to know that this is a practice that is going on, and like that there's an intentional targeting going on here, right? That these type of speculators are preying particularly on Black and Brown working class middle income homeowners.
I was going to ask, like, are there certain best practices on reporting some of these behaviors?
Yep. So there are cease and desist zones. Unfortunately, the entire city should be a cease and desist zone. That is not the case. Right now, there's a cease and desist zone that covers portions of Cypress Hills in East New York. That was a hard-fought win by the coalition, which was really exciting. But there's a lot of things that I think folks can be pushing for in the meantime outside of the flip tax. It's one thing is expanding cease and desist zones, making them opt out instead of opt in, because right now homeowners have to opt into the system. And so that means that now we have to do a second kind of like round of outreach and letting people know that the system exists, so that they can opt in to not having to deal with speculators.
Yeah. And then with folks who are in that zone, is it about like calling a number? Like, what are the
So
steps?
there's an online form that you can fill out. And from what we've gleaned so far, like the city's pretty responsive, and they will find the speculators. So they are taking action from from what we've seen. And
I'm just trying to understand it. So if there is a certain speculator that's engaging in this behavior that is not just working in the stop and desist zone, would that also help with residents who are not in that zone if that speculator is
I
doing?
suppose, right, because it would ho hopefully dissuade them from continuing that practice further, even if it's not in that zone, right? But unfortunately, like a lot of speculators, they know what they're doing is wrong. They're engaging in pretty, practices that are legal, but like pretty unethical. So I don't know if that would necessarily dissuade them, which is why we're trying to really push for the expansion of these zones. Otherwise, unfortunately, there's no like, and nothing that they're doing is illegal, right? Outside of cease and desist zones where homeowners have opted in and then they continue to reach out to those homeowners. But otherwise, like there's nothing illegal about what they're doing. So unfortunately, there is no recourse. So our biggest thing that we can do until some sort of tax legislation is passed is to just bring awareness to the fact that this is happening, encourage homeowners to reach out to brokers, actual real estate agents, because a lot of these predatory speculators, they'll just offer like all cash offers, but they're often lowballing. They're encouraging people to not ha put their house on the market and go through an entire process with a realtor. And so kind of bringing awareness to that and encouraging people to stay away from these type of offers and really going through the entire process.
And then when you talk about warning people about like those kinds of offers, so besides the cash only offers, are there other like warning signs?
I mean, I think one of the biggest flags will be that it'll be an LLC, right? And so that's why another thing people can be doing is advocating for the LLC Transparency Act, which is currently on Governor Hochul's table. And what that would do is that it require LLCs to disclose once a year, like who's behind the LLC, because that makes it really hard to pin down these speculators and see who's engaging in this, because they're often hiding behind these LLCs. You don't know who they are. It'll be like We Buy Homes LLC, and you really don't know who the actual actor is, and they're able to open up a new LLC for a new purchase. And it's hard to connect the dots between who are the big actors in the field. And so that act is also really important and kind of part and parcel of the work we're doing with the End Toxic Home Flipping Act.
And what do you otherwise recommend? Are there certain best practices for like how to go about reporting this? Because again, not technically illegal, or is it just about like calling up the office and just sharing what's going on and seeing what
Yeah,
happens?
I think it's unfortunately there is no like legal recourse for this because it's not illegal, but I think what people can be doing is contacting their local senator and assembly member and really documenting what's going on and how the frequency of what I feel like most homeowners in and across New York City, the Bronx, anything, one thing that we've been really trying to push forward, especially with this inter-borough action, is that this is not an issue specific to East New York or Central Brooklyn. Like homeowners are being targeted across the city, whether in Queens and Jamaica and Cypress Hills. And so we need the city to step in. And I think that's a part of like the political education work that we're doing, like the importance of like homeownership for like generational wealth building and really like talking about that in the spaces that we are a part of and have access to, so that people understand, like especially in New York City, what a big asset your home can be. And a lot of these people are shortchanging folks who have lived in these homes for decades, right? I mean, there's some homes that I've come across where people get less than what they paid like 20 years ago, and then that person, the predatory speculator, has flipped that home for sometimes between 400 to 700% profit. So they're making a lot of money on the backs of people's homes, and that's why we kind of center this language of homes, right? Toxic home flipping, like this, we want to kind of shift away from this language of like house and like housing as a commodity. Like these are people's homes where they actually live.
And homeowners should also, or even non-homeowners, but potential homeowners, or people in the community should be also reaching out to their local elected officials about these specific two bills.
These two pieces of legislation and for the expansion of cease and desist zones as well. I think that's how we got it passed in the part of East New York that where it exists now, but it was because of lots of door knocking, getting a bunch of hundreds of signatures so that the city knew exactly where what the community residents wanted and needed.
Are there plans for other coalition members that are maybe primarily work in other areas of the city to also do more of that engagement work to try to get that stop and desist zone into to other areas?
Yeah, so our coalition is East New York based. So, like, we are part of a larger anti-speculation coalition that has partners in different parts of the city. So, like, Chaya, that is not something we've necessarily collaborated on in that anti-coalition space. So it's mostly around this specific piece of legislation, but I think that that would be a great place to start.
Are there any city-based supports that you know about, or like any city agencies that like ideally should support people in this issue?
I would say, like, I would encourage homeowners to get connected with their local, like, human services agencies, right? Like, places like Cypress Hills LDC have entire programs and staff that are committed to keeping homeowners in their homes and are connected to and are able to fill out applications for different programs that might, assist homeowners who are either having troubles with their mortgage. They have a tax lien on their home and don't know what to do or how to, maybe might be on the verge of foreclosure or going to foreclosure. I would just urge and encourage those homeowners to reach out.
Yeah. And I'm curious, how did you get into this space? Do you have a personal connection with this issue?
So I was previously doing housing justice work. I was a tenant organizer for in the Bronx. And so I shifted into this role in April in East New York, and it was my first time engaging with homeowners. And I think it was something that I lack knowledge on, right? I think New York City is a city mostly of tenants and renters. And so, my focus has always been on tenant work and also tenant legislation, things like Good Cause. And so coming into East New York, I think that was like the first time I really built this awareness of how middle income and working class homeowners are being neglected as well. And also the overlap, right? I think one of the challenges that I've tried to take on in this role is to bridge the gap between tenants and homeowners and make sure that this is an issue that people understand impacts everyone, right? Because, for instance, in neighborhoods like Cypress Hills and East New York, a lot of these small homeowners, right, these 1 to 3 unit buildings, they provide a lot of the rental units that are affordable. And so, if that home, not only if that home is bought by a flipper, that folks get displaced, but let's say they're not somehow not displaced, but whatever the new family that comes in is buying a house for $1 million, their mortgage is going to be significantly higher. So they're, of course, going to be charging significantly more rent to any new tenants that would move into that building. So it really is a general affordability issue and contributes to, like, the affordability crisis that's going on. And so we're really trying to build that tenant and homeowner coalition, because really, like, we have the same interests, and, like, it's often the same actors that are extracting profit out of both.
Was there anything that surprised you coming from that, your previous work with tenant rights and such in the Bronx, and then working here?
Yeah, because I was, like, often engaging with tenants against their landlords, often much bigger landlords, like landlords who own entire buildings and multiple buildings. So it's not really the same scale. It's really different when I came to East New York. But I think one thing I was surprised to see was, like, how many landlords are actually struggling, how many homeowners are struggling to keep up with their payments, or struggling, even if their home is paid off, to even pay property taxes, right? These are often elders who are relying on Social Security, and that's paying their property taxes, and gentrification is causing property taxes to go up, and there's not enough support from the city to keep those people in their homes. So I think I was really surprised and appalled to, like, see the state of, like, economic security for homeowners too. Homes in New York City really are such a asset, and so I think it's really important that these homeowners stay in their home and are able to, like, build that generational wealth for their kids and their grandkids.
Yeah, and I know you haven't been working in this coalition so long, but or on this bill for so long, but have conversations come up about whether this toxic home flipping, has it gotten worse?
One thing that we did see was how flips increased during the pandemic, right? Which was already such a distressful time for so many people, and folks were no longer working, people were unemployed. And I think it just shows how truly immoral these speculators really are, right? They, when I say praying, like, they really are praying, right? We saw this type of flipping really escalate during the pandemic, when more homeowners were probably defaulting on their mortgages or falling behind and just feeling like, oh, maybe I should just move out of New York City, move down south, and I should just sell my home. And here comes along somebody being like, I'm going to give you $200,000 all cash, and that becomes like an offer that feels harder to refuse. So I think that's kind of like the one pattern that I've noticed from the data.
To check out all of the resources that Maliha mentioned, check out our show notes. We've also linked to the End Toxic Home Flipping Act. We encourage you to contact your state elected official, state senator, and assembly member today and ask them to support Senate Bill S15698. That's all for today. Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting us as we do our best to support our community. We couldn't do it without you. For more stories like this, make sure to subscribe to our newsletter at epicenter-nyc.com. Our intro music is All the Pretty Horses by Karavika. You can find more of their music on their website linked to in our podcast description.